Hey y'all, what's up? I'm Simone Rose, and you're listening to the Notebooks and Coffee podcast, where we talk about real life and your mental health. As you know, I'm not a licensed therapist. However, each week I get on here and I share my stories with you all in hopes that I can encourage at least one of you to share yours. That being said, grab your cups and let's talk about it. So have you ever wondered why, no matter how much good you do, your mental health is always in shambles? That's a question I used to ask myself all the time. I'm such a good person. I do all of these good things for other people. Why do I still feel like shit? Why do I feel incomplete? Why am I suffering from depression? Why am I suicidal? I've done so much good for people. And mentally, I have absolutely nothing to show for it. On top of being the strong person in my family and to the group of friends that I have, I tend to suffer from what they call hero syndrome. It's not as bad as it used to be. However, it's something that I deal with. And I'm not even sure that hero syndrome is the right term, or if there is a term for it. I know people like to refer to it as being Captain Save-A-Ho. But I had gotten so used to trying to save everyone in the midst of me trying to be there for everyone else. I was never worried about me. And honestly, neither was anybody else. I realized I suffered from hero syndrome early on. I was 16 and I was in a relationship with a girl at the time, who was what the old folks or older generation would call troubled. She was troubled. She was dealing with a lot at home. And me being me, of course, I wanted to be there for her because I genuinely cared for her. And it came a point where she had gotten into some trouble and she ran away from home. Either she ran away or she got put out. I can't remember. But either way, she was gone out of her house, and I had figured out a way to sneak her into my home and hide her there for a month. I was still going to school. My mother was still going to work. So while we were out of the house, she had free range to pretty much do whatever she wanted in the house. And when other people were home, she would hide under the bed. And I don't know how she got caught. I believe my brother-in-law or my sister was at the house and heard this noise and she got caught. Needless to say, after her being caught, I still was trying to look out for her and find ways to be there for her when on the inside I was dealing with things on my own that I hadn't really taken the time to acknowledge. We were together for 2 years, I believe. And in that 2 years, of course, was a lot of up and down, more downs than ups. But in that 2 year course, I had become suicidal. And I literally told her, like, I don't want to be here anymore. I ended up being in the hospital for a little over a week, I think. They admitted me to the psych ward and did all of these tests and whatever it was that they needed to do to figure out, like, I wasn't crazy. I was depressed. I was dealing with depression. But me being depressed didn't keep me from wanting to be there for her. It didn't keep me from wanting to be that good girlfriend or that good friend. No matter what situation I was in, I still felt the need to want to help her. Fast forward 9 years later. Yeah, 9 years later, I want to say like I was 25, going on 26. I might have been... It could have been as early as 24. I can't remember. But I met this guy And I talked about him on the show before, where we were in a relationship and he felt like I should look like a stripper and I should alter my body. And he was very verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, and it turned physical once. And even during the time where we were going through the breakup, because you know they say women leave mentally first before they do physically. Well, mentally I was already gone, but physically I hadn't completely broken away yet. I had started the process, which took 2 years, I want to say. But nonetheless, in the 2 years of that, there was a time where he told me that he was going to put a bullet in my head because I wanted him out and I wanted to be by myself. And even then, I found myself like wanting to figure out a way to help him, like figure out where he was going to stay or like what he was going to do. I knew he couldn't stay with me, but I didn't know what to do. I wanted to try to be there for him, but where I was mentally at this point, I couldn't. And at first it bothered me because like my girlfriend from high school, when we met, he was going through some things. His father had put him out on his birthday. And what do? I bring him to my house. Now this time I'm an adult, so I wouldn't say that I snuck him in to my home. But he was spending the night every night and wasn't leaving. And my mom finally figured it out and we had a conversation about what was going on. And I was just like, I want to help him. Mind you, during this time, we weren't in a relationship. He had made it very clear that he did not want a relationship. However, here I am still trying to play Captain Sabaho and making sure that he's okay. I wanted to be sure that he had a roof over his head, to be sure that he was eating and be sure like he had clothes on his back and that he was taken care of. Not realizing that mentally it was fucking me up. But I stuck with it. And throughout the 5-year relationship, there was a time where we weren't great. I was in a terrible mental place. I was very depressed. I suffered from anxiety. I wasn't suicidal, but when it came down to him saying, you know, he was going to put a bullet in my head, like I told you guys before, I just laid there and was like, all right, we'll get it over with. We were together. He had a friend, again, like the old folks say, troubled, who was going through things at home. He got put out. What do? Open up our apartment to where he was sleeping on our couch. And, you know, they were best friends. And I was cooking. I was cleaning. I think, like, honestly, the only positive thing that came out of it was when I brought groceries home, they would come down to the car and take the groceries upstairs. That was it. But still, dealing with what we were dealing with, I wanted to save his friend. And it took me a while to realize that this wasn't a good thing. Not saying that helping others is wrong, but having quote-unquote hero syndrome, it can be detrimental to your mental health. There was a time where I like had no clue who I was unless I was, in essence, saving somebody else. Like I didn't feel good about myself unless I was being there for another body, whether it was in my relationships or whether it was with my friendships. And there came a time where I needed to take a step back and reevaluate, because as I'm being there for everyone else, I'm realizing not one of those people is being there for me, leaving me to deal with my anxiety, my depression on my own, leaving me to have suicidal thoughts and having to fight through it and deal with it on my own. It took me a good 3 years, 3 or 4 years to kind of get out of always wanting to be somebody's savior. And it wasn't until recently where I had the miscarriage and I found myself reverting back to that, to not have to deal with what I was dealing with internally. I wanted to go out and save the world, in essence, to not have to focus on what was going on at home. But in doing that, I realized, one, I'm not alone in wanting to save the world. There's so many other people out there like me. But another thing I realized is sometimes those of us that are so used to being everything for everybody, we tend to not say no because we don't know who we are unless we're playing the savior. Like, we don't have anything to hold on to but that. It's like, if I can save you, I don't have to acknowledge what's going on with me internally. I can block whatever I'm dealing with out because I feel like I'm doing you a justice by being there for you. When internally, all I'm doing is causing my mental health to deteriorate because I'm not acknowledging things that I'm dealing with, whether it is anxiety, whether it is depression, whether it is suicidal thoughts, whether it is me needing to learn how to love me more. I can't acknowledge that because I'm always trying to take care of somebody else. And what I do know is constantly playing the hero does not feed your soul. And it does absolutely nothing for your mental health. It'll make you feel good in the moment, but the reality of it is, if you fail to acknowledge who you are without having to save other people, you'll never be fulfilled. You're always going to want to play superhero to someone else in order to feel good about yourself, when the reality of it is, you got to figure out who you are in order to like genuinely love you and to really be able to give yourself to someone else and not feel broken afterwards. And I had to challenge myself, like, figure out who Simone is without having to save the world. Figure out what she likes. Figure out what she doesn't like. Figure out how she can heal herself from being depressed in this aspect, or figure out how she can save herself from the anxiety that she's dealing with over here without having to shut off what it is she's dealing with to go save somebody else. I did it, and I am challenging you who may suffer from Captain Save-A-Ho syndrome to figure out who you are without being somebody else's savior. I promise you, you might like it. Just a little bit. All right, y'all. I'll catch y'all next week.